following program is sponsored by House of Prayer.
House of Prayer Ministries continue to bring the message of the unadulterated gospel all over the globe. From the United States to Russia, from Latin America to Europe, we are a church committed to the preservation of biblical principles.
To the House of Prayer in America, you prayed for us. You thank you so much for your prayer.
Anytime out of prayer, pray you are encouraged and blessed.
You deposited in us a spirit of evangelism which grew like fire.
You will see us at hospitals, nursing homes, and homeless shelters, at food banks, orphanages, and prisons. We're actively ministering in our communities and everywhere we go. With affiliates across all continents.
This is Levi Newman, reporting live from Jerusalem.
It was just a blessing to be able to be somewhere else and just to be able to witness to people and pray in a different country.
When they first built the church in Mexico, they go out.
And not only Mexico, but Brazil.
There are men and women all throughout El Salvador that long for the missionaries, the brethren, to come back to see them again because they saw something different.
With affiliates across all continents, we faithfully encourage pastors, workers, and congregations in churches and synagogues in many countries.
Every time that he was preaching, he would call me. He said, "Hey, you and your church, I need y'all to pray for me." He didn't have nobody else to pray for him.
We are a church without prejudices. We are a church without boundaries. And we are a church of all nations. Welcome to God's Heritage, the Women's Hour. I am Natalie Diaz. Thank you for joining us. Tonight, we are going to continue revisiting God's goodness upon House of Prayer. We're bringing to you a glimpse of our story, our journey, and our godly heritage. This program is dedicated to Moriah Miche Dennis. Last week, we left off with the revival of the dry bones, Christians and Jews worshiping together, with no discrimination for rich or poor, black or white, and everything in between. We went forth. Can you imagine different accents and colors united under the same banner of brotherly kindness? Well, it was time to do more than imagine. With much prayer and God's help, this has become a reality. We have given the universe a glimpse of something that was and is to come. Charity never faileth. It shall never fail. It is greater than faith and hope, because it goes beyond some future expectation. It is that which is perfect, and when it is come, prophecies shall fail, tongues shall cease, and knowledge shall vanish away. Where it says tongues, it means more than just languages, but the world of evil that the power of the tongue produces. You can read about this in James chapter 2. That more excellent way that the Bible calls charity is real result today. It is no longer an expectancy of a better tomorrow. It is fulfillment right now. It is the right motive behind the proper course of action, producing absolute results without using gimmicks. Last week, we heard a lot about missions abroad. Now, I want you to hear just how God opened doors for us here at home through the power of prayer.
Again, during last month, the month of November, Hurricane Helene passed by in Georgia. It was a very terrible time for even a little town called Claxton, where for weeks these people were without power. And there's a great community, Haitian community there. And when I went to visit them, many of them, they were saying there's no help, nobody come. So no city managers, no governor, nobody came by to see how they were doing. But the church was there, and we were able to distribute different necessities to them as food, water, hygiene kits, and they were very appreciative. So this is just a little part of what House of Prayer is doing, reaching to the needy, the lost, those without, you know, anyone. So we hear their cry and we go and help in any way that we can. So I'm so thankful that I was able to do that, because I was looking at it and I said, if we don't do it, who's gonna do it? If we don't care for the, you know, for those that are hurting, so who's gonna care? Because this is the mission God gives us to do. And we continue to do it with all our heart. And they were very thankful that somebody was there to help them during that time. So it was a blessing to see how thankful they were. So House of Prayer is going to continue to do what God called us to do.
It was in 1994 when I was a teenager. I went to Washington, D.C. with my high school choir. We had the opportunity to perform at the Walter Reed Medical Center. It was for the 50th anniversary of D-Day. And in that same year, I started going to a church where they preached and lived the Bible. And that's where I experienced the love of God for the first time. And that's where I gave my life to Christ, and I started teaching Sunday school and working with children. Our church started a children's choir soon after that, and I used my musical knowledge and training to be one of the choir directors. We were able to take the children's choir to several different places, like the nursing home and ministering to the homeless. And we even had the opportunity to take the children to sing at the Capitol building in Georgia. And I realized that instead of pursuing a musical career of what I wanted to do, that God was giving me the opportunity to serve Him in that capacity. And so in 2015, we were afforded the opportunity to take our children's choir to Walter Reed Medical Center. Years later, after I had went when I was in high school. It was amazing to see how our singing and our music brought joy and hope to so many lives of the nurses, doctors, veterans, active duty members, high-ranking military, and government officials from all over the world.
I remember about 6 years ago, we went to a missionary trip in Baltimore, Maryland. We went to downtown Baltimore. That was where we stayed pretty much the whole time we were there. You know, the downtown area is the nicest part of the city, the most commercial, the most tourist-oriented. There were lots of restaurants and museums and different, you know, attractions, you know, for, you know, people from out of town to go enjoy. But in order to get to those places, we took a trolley to downtown, and the trolley took us through the other parts of the city, the not so nice parts. And when I say not so nice, that's an understatement. These were very, very rough areas that if you didn't know you were in an American city, you would think you were in another city in a war-torn country. It was that bad without exaggeration. And we passed through these in the relative safety of the interior of the trolley to the downtown, where the contrast couldn't have been any more sharp. But the thing was, when we were downtown, once we were there, we saw evidence of what the city was really like from the people, the locals that worked in downtown, the ones that worked in the restaurants, worked in the various service industries. These people, for the most part, they were very hard. They had very hard looks on their faces as they were crossing the street, walking to, going to their next work or wherever. Because these were the people that lived in those areas that were war-torn and had riots going on at that very moment. And so one of the things that stood out to me, or really made me think, was that these same people that live in these, you know, rough areas are coming to work in this downtown area where, you know, their job is to cater to people from out of town to make sure they're having a good time. But meanwhile, they are not having a good time at all. They're not having a good life at that moment. They're at the end of their shift, they're going back to whatever borough that they live in, and they're going back to who knows what. And that was the thing that really stood out to me the whole time we were there. But a lot of those people at the same time, they were very receptive to prayer.
In 2017, a lot of us went on a missionary trip to Cincinnati, Ohio. And we went to some of the worst parts of the inner city part. We walked around praying with different people. But one of the highlights that's still in my mind is we went to a park, and there was a kids playing in the park, and we just began to talk to them, and the boys had questions. It was 9 boys, and some was named Suave, Ideal, Akil, Damien, TJ, began to ask about heaven and about hell. And it was one kid, I think it was Aki. He said, "I want to go to heaven because my cousin's in heaven." And I said, "Your cousin's in heaven?" He said, "Yes." He said, "He was killed." I said, "He was killed?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "In the streets?" He said, "No." He said, "My cousin killed him." And I said, "How does it make you feel?" He said, "It makes me feel sad." And I remember talking to him, and we was encouraging him and talking about heaven, and they began to ask about heaven. How's heaven going to be? One little boy said, I'm going to shake God's hand when I get to heaven. And one little boy asked, he said, "Are there going to be dogs in heaven?" But then they began to ask questions also about hell, and they were saying, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. And then one kid, he said, we was talking about it. He said, "Man, I want to go to heaven right now." "So you want to go to heaven right now?" He said, "Yeah, he can have me right now." I said, "Okay, we'll pray with you." And we all in that part, we bowed our heads, and one of the ones that was there led all the kids in prayer. And it was just a blessing. And they asked us a question as we get ready to leave. They said, "Oh, you guys coming back?" And we said, "Yeah, well, you know, we couldn't ask, we didn't know." But I often think about them and still pray for them. That and back in Cincinnati, in the city streets, where are those kids at now? Will we ever get a chance to see them? Maybe want to join the military? Maybe somehow, somewhere down the line, that if we made a difference in one of their lives, that we would maybe be able to see them again.
In 18 years, my wife and I have crossed America over 8 times in House of Prayer praying. We've been part of teams who went to pray in over 40 cities like Chicago and Toronto. In 2015, we went as a couple to Corpus Christi to pray and spent the weekend there. Today, we call and encourage men, women, and children in 5 countries in Africa. I hope and pray to go to Nigeria to pray with those we know in Ibadan. Nigeria nimi mosi nife awang arao eko Ibadan ati gbogbo amo Nigeria olorong Bukumfung Bogbo Awang Tio Bo Ami.
Working with the incarcerated juveniles in Waycross, Georgia, it was such a blessing just to see God moving and working in their lives, and the hope that was brought to them that they could actually do right and change, and that there is a God in heaven that really loves them and loves their souls, that even when no one loves them, God does love them. Many of them were not even Christians. They would attend the Bible study and they became Christians, very eager to listen to the word of God. And God was able to turn the hearts of many in that Bible study.
It was truly a blessing to be able to go and to minister to the children at the juvenile detention center. And we could say that really it was like in a real way, like an answer to prayer, and that it was even born in prayer. And what happened was some different ones went out to on an outreach to go pray with people, and they went to the juvenile center and they made a circle outside, and they began to bow their heads and close their eyes and pray. And when they opened their eyes, a man that came out and actually happened to be the director of the juvenile center. And he asked if they were minded to come and volunteer. And he said, in fact, that that's what he had been praying for, some people to come and to volunteer. He said, because the juvenile system was just broken. The things that were being used just wasn't working. And prayer is what those kids needed. We began to see people change. And when we came, we didn't come with a message of condemnation or anything of that sort, but a message of hope. We know different things had already happened to them, and we wanted to give them hope that whatever had happened or whatever they did, that they can change, that there is power to change. But when you began to talk to them, their hearts would open up, and you could tell these were just kids, and they just wanted love like everyone else. I remember another young man that he was there, and he was one, the time we were there, he had just kind of got there. He was newly there. And I remember that there was a Bible study going on, and after the end of it, that you could tell his heart was also very tender. He was very remorseful. And whatever was said in that Bible study, you can tell it was dealing with his heart about whatever he had did. And he had a mind. I remember him just kind of shaking his head like, no, I'm going to change. I got to change. I'm not supposed to be here. I don't need to be here. He's like, I'm going to change. And we just encouraged him to whatever he had did to get there, to not do those things again, to stay away from those things. And then even while he's there, to watch out for the bad influences, because a lot of times kids can get caught up with the wrong ones, and that influence kind of keeps them stuck. And so he did just that. The whole time he was there, he wasn't there long. He did what he was supposed to do. And his court date came, and the judge said he was fine, and he got out. So, praise God. God is good.
To be able to reorient one of these young souls can prevent future tragedy and increase public safety. Some time ago, I had the opportunity to speak with a sister who helps in this ministry. She shared with me how their tough demeanor melted when it was snack time. They all dropped their show and ran when they heard the guard announcing it. They are just little children who have been inspired to act as adult criminals by all they saw, heard, and experienced.
The first experience that really stood out to me was with a 17-year-old girl. This girl had never heard about God or was never taught about God. So she came out to the Bible studies to find out about God. She was raised in a different religion by her father. And so out of respect for her father, she wouldn't even touch the Bible. But she would read it if we would turn the pages for her and show them to her. So after the first one, it was a blessing, and she decided to come back. But before she came back, she had tried to find out about the Bible from other sources that were not true. So when she told us, I told her they weren't true, and I showed her scripture. And the blessing was is that this girl who had never heard about God, was never even taught about God until now, when I showed her the scripture, she believed it. And somewhere in the midst of coming to the Bible study, she decided to make real decisions for her life, to where when she went before the judge, she told the judge that she didn't want to leave the jail where they had a school program. She wanted to stay in so that she could finish school. She said she knew if she got out, she wouldn't make it. She wouldn't finish because of all the outside influences. So she stayed in. And then the last visit we had with her, right before she was to get out, she told us that she had decided to be a Christian, and she held her own Bible for the first time. Later on, I found out that she was doing good and that she had got her own job.
Have we become so cold and indifferent that we see these sort of things as a success story God forbid. We are not attempting to exploit these accounts. Everything we do here is to glorify God. Will you also become a part of the solution? You see, someone gave us a helping hand. Someone taught us the Bible. Someone took time to show us how. Once anyone experiences true love, it is an unforgettable experience. And now, in thankfulness, we want to give something back. Although we may never see any of these young souls again, we rest assured that the genuine love and care which was poured out upon them will stay with them forever. This is our offering, our time, and our devotion so that others may live. What they do afterward is between them and God. Our hope is that they will choose to never go back to their former lifestyles. Ministering in prisons and juvenile detention centers is not all we do. There are so many facets of this great work God has entrusted us with. We are greatly humbled by the privilege to carry the eternal flame of prayer in these last days. Prayer has died in the hearts and minds of men. Instead of being the first thing we do, many times it is a last resort. In some cases, prayer is out of sight and out of mind. It has gotten so bad that there are places in which prayer is looked down upon with disdain. To them I say, if prayer is not real, then why does it bother you so much? To you, I say, have you heard the call to pray? Believe it or not, the call to be a prophet or a pastor or to be a part of any work in the ministry does not supersede the call to pray. Salvation begins with prayer, is kept through prayer, it is sealed in prayer, and it is obtained by prayer. The Bible is full of examples of people who started out well and ended in catastrophe because they didn't pray anymore and so began to lean on their own understanding. The call of God is always first, a call to be saved, a call to love God, to pray, and to live responsibly. If these simple requirements are not met, it really doesn't matter if you become the greatest evangelist that ever lived. Our way of life is simple and often misunderstood, but I encourage you to just read the Bible, then you will understand. Nevertheless, visitors kept coming to our churches. The undeniable presence of God was felt in our services, and the unfeigned love of the saints was enough to help hungry souls to be established in the truth. And so the prayer force was formed. In October 2014, the title of our 56th issue of the Prayer Force magazine was, We Are All Here. Years had come and gone, but the faithfulness of God had prevailed, and we had seen so many promises come to pass. So we close tonight's broadcast dedicating it to Moriah Michée Dennis, The Pure Mountain. Join us again next week as we conclude this special series of the Women's Hour. May God bless you. If you or someone you know is in need of prayer, we invite you to call our toll-free prayer request line. There is someone standing by 24/7, ready to pray with you. Call 1-866-414-PRAY. That's 1-866-414-7234. 866-414-7729. Our international prayer request line is also available in several languages. Call us toll-free at 1-833-772-9482. Again, that's 1-833-772-9482.